Do have a seat. So as we journey through Lent, we are continuing in our series of looking at different people praying in the Bible. And we've reached Daniel. Now, I think with the book of Daniel, we often read it in separate bits. Maybe Lizzie's wonderful reading this morning from Daniel in the Lion's Den took you back, maybe, if you were in a Sunday school. It's a popular one because there's lions in it. Or maybe the story of the writing on the wall where a hand appears and Daniel has to interpret what the writing is. Or maybe you've read some of the strange visions and sought to work out, what does that mean? But if we look at the book of Daniel as a whole, we see a man of prayer. A man, in fact, whose whole life is shaped by a habit of prayer. When the Babylonians had taken over Jerusalem, they had taken into captivity a number of people to work for the king. And the people they took first were the elite. They'd chosen the creme de la creme. In chapter 1, we're told that they were from the royal family and nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve the king. In other words, Daniel was intelligent and handsome. He was a catch. And he could so easily have been confident in his own ability. He was chosen because of his qualifications. But what we see in Daniel all the way through is his dependence on God. And every time he manages to do this amazing feat, like interpret dreams, he always points to God and says, "It's not me, but God." Two examples in his life. The first time we hear of Daniel praying is in chapter 2, where King Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream and he wants his officials to interpret it. But not only interpret it, but tell him what he dreamed first and then interpret it. Of course, they couldn't, so he ordered their execution. Men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. And when the commander of the king's guard had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him. He spoke to him, it says, with wisdom and tact. I wonder how he managed to respond so calmly when a death threat was hanging over him. In those moments of pressure, to respond with wisdom and tact. Daniel asks for an explanation of why this order has come, and then he asks for time. And the first thing he does is go to his friends and ask them to pray. Prayer was key in Daniel's life, and he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven so that he and his friends might not be executed. And during the night, God does. He reveals to Daniel the dream and the interpretation. And Daniel gives glory to God, telling King Nebuchadnezzar it's all from God. Daniel knows not only does he need to pray, but he also needs to be willing to ask others in those moments of crisis. To ask others to pray is such a gift, to be able to do that and to pray for others, to stand with them in joy and in sorrow. And then the other incident that we're going to talk about this morning is that wonderful story of Daniel in the lion's den. Now, in our heads, I don't know what picture you have when you hear this story, but as I look through various pictures, it's always of this young, dynamic Daniel going into the lion's den. But if we actually look at the timing of this, it's likely that Daniel was about 80 when this happened. So often when we read the Bible, we race to the next exciting thing. And we don't read the years of faithful prayer in between. When actually, there's not lots of exciting things happening. It's just day by day living as God wanted him to. Daniel had risen to a very influential position. He holds lots of responsibility, is brilliant at his job, and the others are jealous. They know they can't find corruption in him. What a great thing to be able to say about a man high up in government after a lifetime of service. There was no corruption in him. So they have to set a trap with a law that says anyone who prays to any god or human other than the king will be thrown to the lions. Now, Daniel had a choice at that moment. And surely he could have said, God knows my heart. I can pray in my heart. I only need to hide and pray in secret for 30 days. Surely God wants me to keep this influential position that I've got. Anyway, I've served him so faithfully for so long. He won't mind if I just let my habit of praying stop for a few days. But Daniel doesn't. Daniel's habit of prayer is so ingrained and so important to him that no law will enable him to stop. So Daniel learns of the decree, goes to his upstairs window with the windows open towards Jerusalem. And three times a day, he gets on his knees and prays, giving thanks to God, just as he'd done before. I noticed three things about Daniel praying at that moment. Firstly, why does he pray with the window open? He's facing Jerusalem, the place where the presence of God he knew was, where the temple was, that place he longed to see. But it's the presence of God. As he prays, he's seeking that presence of God. Secondly, he's humble on his knees. The traditional position for prayer for a Jewish man was to stand with arms raised. But here at this moment, Daniel's on his knees, a respected, influential man, but knowing that before God, he needs to kneel, acknowledging his need of God. And he prays with thankfulness. In the midst of a death threat, he turns his eyes to God and thanks God for his goodness. And then he pleads with God. This was part of his routine. Seeking the presence of God, humbling himself before God, giving thanks to God, and then pleading for him. Three times a day he does this. And I wonder how often, day by day, that routine had become natural to him. I think when we think about habits of prayer, we can get into two extremes. We can sometimes feel, I have to have this 20 minutes of prayer, and if I don't have it, then that's it, the day's a disaster. And we can become quite legalistic about it. But equally, we can think, actually, we're not about laws and rules. We can pray whenever. And the danger is that other things crowd out that time of prayer with God. How have we developed a habit of prayer? It'd be fascinating to share with each other. And don't panic. I'm not going to ask you to do that at this moment, but maybe over coffee. What's my habit of prayer? And why do we call it a habit? Because when it's a habit, we don't have to, as it were, plan it in. I don't need any more to put in my diary, not that I ever put it in my diary, but I don't need any more to kind of think about the need to brush my teeth. It's kind of daily. I know that I need to do it. I feel better when I've done it, and the people around me benefit when I've done it. With my 7-year-old, it's not a habit yet. We have many an argument about brushing teeth. But because I know that it's good for me, because I value it, it's just become something that I do. I wonder where prayer comes in our daily routine. Daniel had every excuse not to pray that day. He was busy. He had a really influential job. He was in danger. The lions were getting ready, so he couldn't really concentrate. He'd been faithful to God for decades. Surely God wouldn't mind. But he knew that he needed to pray. That was where he drew his strength. That's why he's able to respond in those moments of extreme pressure with wisdom and tact. Yes, Jesus often modeled praying on our own in a solitary place, not making a show of it. But equally, do the people around us know that prayer is important to us? Do our family know? Do our colleagues know that prayer is important? And Daniel's prayers strengthened him throughout his life. We could have used lots of other examples of where Daniel prays. And sometimes those prayer times for Daniel would just have been mundane. But the habit means he kept doing it. I sometimes think that it's a bit like food. Not all our meals are special. Quite a lot are mundane, but we know we need to eat. I can't remember everything that I ate over the last decades. Some stand out as memorable, those special meals. And loads of effort has gone in. But the truth is, I needed to eat regularly, day by day. If I hadn't, my body wouldn't have had the strength for each day, and when a feast did come along, I wouldn't have been able to cope with it. Same for prayer. Not every prayer time is amazing, memorable. Sometimes it feels like hard work. I love the quote from Philip Yancey. He said this, "Prayer includes moments of ecstasy and also dullness, mindless distraction and acute concentration, flashes of joy and bouts of irritation." In other words, prayer has features in common with all relationships that matter. The other reason that prayer was so important for Daniel is that he was in exile. All the outward features of his religion had been taken away from him. He couldn't go on the annual trips to the temple. He couldn't take part in the great celebrations. There was no longer priests. He couldn't. There were no longer musicians. But he had prayer. He's reliant on it. And that's a good question for us. If all the things are taken away, and for many of us, that was a challenge as COVID took hold, when those things that sustain us in our faith, many of which we couldn't do, we couldn't gather as a community, we couldn't sing as a community. But prayer, in prayer, we have the opportunity to meet with God day by day. When Daniel prays, he doesn't know what will happen. He doesn't know if God will rescue him from the lions, but he knows he needs to meet with God. And God does do the miracle and rescues him and close the mouths of the lions, and Daniel gives glory to God. Later in the book of Daniel, he prays on behalf of many other people. He prays for the city. He longs for his return to Jerusalem, but that return doesn't come in his lifetime. There are prayers that are not answered in the miraculous way that the lions' mouths were closed. But he gets a glimpse of the future when the Son of Man will come. The answer to his prayer will not come in his lifetime, but he's strengthened for each day. He's reminded that he's loved by God, and he's equipped to face whatever comes his way with wisdom and integrity and strength. How's my habit of prayer? How is my habit of prayer doing in a way that equips me day by day? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for Daniel, for the way in which you were his priority. Spending time with you was key. And I pray that you would help each one of us in the demands of life to find those times to fix our eyes on you, to draw on your strength. Help us when the pressures surrounding us seek to strangle that time, to be bold, to carve out time and come before you in thankfulness and humility. In Jesus' name, amen.